Church can be dismissed. You guys can head on out with Kyla. And thank you to the tech crew. I know they don't get enough recognition and credit, you know, for all of the bugs they got to work out. For the video announcements, I don't know what hour Ryan was up till this morning putting together those video announcements. And I know he was here early working on that. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes. Just thank you to everybody that works so hard for this church and for the kingdom, and a lot of times without hardly any recognition for it. So thank you to all of you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Oh, that is a typo. It's supposed to be Genesis 37. Should have had somebody proofread it first. So a few weeks ago, we were putting the schedule for preaching, and today was originally supposed to be the Sunday that we were going to honor the graduates for this year. And so I was scheduled to preach today, and so I prepared a message for the graduates. And then we found out that we don't have anybody graduating this year. So we could be done right now and go get cake, right? No, there is always something that we can take away from every message, and we can learn. Even though it is kind of geared and aimed towards younger people, there's something that we can all learn from every message. And so we're going to be looking at the life of a young man, 17-year-old boy, in the Bible named Joseph. And there are some characteristics about Joseph's life that enabled him to discover God's destiny for his life. And so that's the title of the message today, is Discover Your Destiny. And this can apply when you're young, but it can apply when you're older as well. We all ought to be searching and seeking for God's plan and His will in our life, no matter what age we are, because sometimes His plan includes changes for us and taking us in different directions and different courses. And so we all need to keep our eyes on Jesus in order to fully understand the full will and the full plan, the destiny that He has for our lives. So we're going to read from Genesis 37, not 38. Stand with me, if you would, and give honor and reverence to God's Word. And we're just going to read the first four verses now for the sake of time, and then we're going to draw some important truths from this. Genesis 37, beginning with verse 1, Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. Let's read verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Father, I pray that you'd bless the words that go out today, that they would not be my own, but they would be brought forth by you, and that your word would be spoken to our hearts, and that we would receive what you have to say to us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we examine the life of Joseph this morning, we're going to view several principles on how to discover your destiny, how to understand the plan that God has for your life, and so that you can make the biggest impact for the Lord. And so we're going to spend some time this morning contrasting the culture's plan for your life and God's plan for your life. Because in every young person, there is this battle between the culture and God. As a young person, you are continually having to fight and to go against the culture's pull and the culture's mold. The culture tells you that you can build your own destiny, that you can create your own future, that it can be whatever you want it to be. But God says, I know the plans that I have for you. God has plans for your life. Not always do those plans line up with your own. And so we need to be humble enough to submit our will to the Lord's plans. Our culture is extremely self-focused and self-obsessed. We are obsessed with self-help, self-motivation, self-encouragement, positive reinforcement statements. And so the culture continually tells us these statements, things like, you are enough. You're perfect the way that you are. You don't need to change anything. You are good. You can do anything that you set out to do. And those statements are not entirely wrong all the time, but very often they conflict with the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us that we are not perfect, that we are sinful beings, human beings, in need of a perfect Savior, that Jesus is enough, and it's only through Him that we can do all things. It's through Christ that we can do all things. So I want to look at a couple of statements this morning. Some of these positive self-reinforcement positive statements that the culture has hijacked. Now these can be biblical principles, but the culture has hijacked them and they mean them in a different way because they have placed the focus all on self. But as we look at these statements from a proper biblical perspective, we see them displayed in the life of Joseph in the way that they are meant to be, in the way that God intended them to be. So here's the three points that we're going to look at. Dare to be different, follow your dreams, and thrive through difficulty. Those are good statements that the culture has corrupted, but we're going to look at it from a proper biblical perspective this morning, and then we're going to conclude by learning how to exercise our dependency on God. So first of all, number one, dare to be different. In our text this morning, we read how Joseph was different than his brothers. He is distinct. At the age of 17, he is already so vastly different from the rest of his brothers. Now, we need to understand something this morning, especially young people, listen to me. When the culture today tells you, dare to be different, you have got to understand what they mean by that statement. You see, behind the culture's statements, there is a theology. There is a certain belief that is behind these statements. And from the culture's perspective, it's a very anti-God perspective. And so when they tell you, dare to be different, this is what they mean. Dare to break away from the mold of Christianity. Dare to break off from old religion and live your own life. That is what the culture means when they say, dare to be different. Christianity is seen as toxic and a restraint that prevents you from ever succeeding in life and being truly happy. And so they will encourage you that you've got to throw off this old religion so that you can be yourself and find true happiness and true fulfillment in life. But I want you to understand something and think about the irony of this statement. When they tell you to dare to be different, it's very ironic. What they're saying is, dare to be different by being just like us. By being just like the culture, by being just like everyone else. You see, people don't really want you to be different. They want you to be just like them. The culture especially wants you to be just like them. It is a trait of nature to desire everyone to conform. A while back, I read about some scientists who were trying to discover why fish swim in schools. And so they took this poor little fish, and they did a lobotomy on him. That is, they cut away part of his brain, the part of his brain that makes him swim in schools. Now, how in the world they knew that part of the brain made him do that, I have no idea. That's your government tax dollars at work, I guess. So they cut away his brain, and they put him back in the water, and they observed him. And they wanted to see, is he going to play hooky from school, or is he going to continue to swim with the rest of the fish? Well, sure enough, that little fish just wandered off aimlessly all on his own. But you know what happened? All of the other fish followed him. They all grouped together, and they started following that little fish. They were in a school again. And I remember a long time ago when I read that and thinking to myself, boy, does that describe people today. They'll follow any brainless fish anywhere. The culture doesn't care so much about where they're going. It's the fact that they are conforming and that they're together, that everybody looks, acts just the same. I also read about another French scientist who did some experiments. Oh, yeah, there's the fish. I forgot to put that up there. There's a French scientist who did some experiments with the processionary caterpillar. Any of you ever learn about processionary caterpillars in school? No, they're kind of a neat little caterpillar that they feed on pine needles, and they're called processionary because they follow each other in a straight line. They just follow each other around. So the caterpillar just follows the one in front of him, and whoever's in front, that's where they all go. So the scientist, he wanted to study them, and he took about a dozen of them, and he put them in a circle, and with a flower pot in the middle, just a little flower pot. And those caterpillars went around and around in a circle. They did this for 24 hours. Then he put pine needles, which is their food, that's what they eat, he put that in the middle of the circle. And he kept observing them. Those caterpillars kept going in a circle for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. And then they starved to death. They died. With their food just a few inches away from them, they could not break the pattern of conformity. They just kept following each other until they died. Young people, the culture is not going anywhere good. The culture is going in a direction that you don't want to go. And if you don't break away from the mold, if you don't dare to be different from the culture, the end of that cult is death. The chief religion in America is the cult of conformity. And the god of that religion is the crowd. And the chief sin is to be different. But Joseph, we read in our text, he was different. Joseph dared to be different. And I think that he was daring. This wasn't something that was just easy to him. When I say that Joseph was different, I don't mean that he was odd or that he was strange. Jesus calls us to be a peculiar people, not an odd people, all right? Some people tell me, but I've met some flaky Christians. That might be, but I assure you, they were probably flaky before they became a Christian. So what I'm talking about is not being a weirdo or being strange, but being able to stand apart from what the rest of the crowd is doing, especially the culture, in order to stand up for truth, in order to stand up for the Word of God. And I want to look at three ways that Joseph, this morning, dared to be different. First of all, he was different in his devotion. Joseph was different in his devotion. We read in verse 2 that Joseph brought a bad report to his father. And I've heard a lot of talks about this, and usually Joseph is painted in a pretty bad light, right? Joseph was a snitch. Joseph was a tattletale. He just wanted to get in good with his father by making his brothers look bad. And you know, I don't think that's the case. I don't think Joseph had to make his brothers look bad in order for his father to love him more, because we read in our text that the father loved Joseph already more than the others because he was the son of his old age. Joseph didn't need to put down his brothers in order to look better. Here's what I think. I think that Joseph is a man of integrity and truth and sincerity. But above all, he's devoted to his Father. He is fully committed to his Father. And so he has to bring an honest and a true report to his Father, no matter how difficult it must be. When it says that he brought a bad report, that is the word evil. In other words, his brothers were doing things that were evil and wicked, and he was the one that bore the responsibility of having to report that to his Father. And think of how difficult that must have been. His brothers already don't like him, and now he has to report, give an honest report of the evil and the wickedness that they were doing. You know what would have been easier? Probably would have been to look the other way. It might have been easier just to cover it up. Or maybe even say, hey, brothers, I can make this go away, you know, for the right price. We can make this story go away. But he couldn't do that because he's a man of honesty and integrity. He's devoted to the Father above all else. And so he brings back an honest report. Young people, listen to me this morning. You will never get ahead in life by being dishonest. You might think that you will, but you will never truly advance by cutting corners and by being dishonest, because God has no place in his plan for dishonest liars and cheats. So I challenge you this morning to be different. Be different in your devotion to God. Be different in your devotion to the Father. Second of all, Joseph was different in his demeanor. And Joseph's entire life demonstrates this point. He is different in all of his actions. He is a man of moral character, of integrity. He refuses to be dishonest. He refuses to lie. He refused to sleep with his master's wife. He exhibited forgiveness to his brothers after all that they had done to him. His entire life, he showed and demonstrated a difference in his demeanor. So I challenge you, dare to be different by being a person of integrity and morals and value and character, because that is vastly different from our culture. Be different in your demeanor. And thirdly, Joseph was different in his dress. He was different in his dress. And notice it was not the way that he dressed himself, but rather it was the way that his father dressed him. How many of you dads out there get your kids dressed? Any dads out there get your kids dressed? Ooh, a few brave souls. How many of you mothers are okay with the dads dressing your kids? Are you okay with that? But Joseph's dad, he must have been quite the fashion designer, because he dresses Joseph. Here is his son, a simple shepherd, but he dresses him as a king. He dresses him in royalty. This robe, this coat of many colors, we have to understand the significance that would have had in the culture of that day. For someone to wear bright colors, it meant that they were somebody, that they were somebody important. But the more colors it had, the higher their status was viewed. They were very, extremely important if it had multiple colors. This was a coat that was literally fit for a king, not a simple shepherd. And yet, the father dresses his son, a shepherd, as a king because he sees something in Joseph. He sees the potential that is there. I want you to know this morning that the father sees the potential in you, and he dresses you today in royalty. We are royal people because we are sons of the king, sons and daughters of the king. And so we need to dress ourselves, in a sense. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, don't be like this guy. All right? Be different in your dress, but don't be dressed differently like that. I'm talking about being dressed differently in a spiritual sense. The Bible tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, dress yourself with Jesus, and don't make any provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I love this passage in Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we receive Jesus as our Savior, it is God who clothes us with salvation and righteousness. We didn't get a chance to sing that song this morning, but dressed in his righteousness alone, that's how I'm going to be able to stand faultless before the throne. We need to be clothed in salvation and righteousness by the Father. Point number two is follow your dreams. So dare to be different. Dare to be different in those three ways. And number two, follow your dreams. Now, our culture takes this statement to mean that you need to follow wherever your heart leads you to. That essentially your heart is God. It can't be wrong. And so whatever you want to do, you just follow your heart and you follow your passions and your dreams because they're just an expression of yourself and it's good for you to pursue them. Now, that can be true if those dreams and those passions and desires were placed there by God, if they were given to you by God. But if they're of yourself, we need to be careful that we're not following our own desires, but that we're following the will of God. Because we can't always trust our heart. Our heart is deceitful. Our hearts are wicked. And so we can't fully trust our heart. And we need to make sure that our heart is lined up with God's will. As a 17-year-old boy, Joseph was dreaming dreams. But I don't think these were not just his own dreams. This wasn't just him saying, you know what, I'm the youngest of 17. I'm always being bossed around. I wish that I could boss somebody else around for a change. I would like to be king someday. No, that dream was given to him by God. It was placed in his heart, in his mind, by God. I don't think he fully understood what all it meant and what all it would take to get him there, but he trusted God in those dreams. He trusted that God would bring it about in his life. God had a destiny for this young man. And I think about young people. Youth is a wonderful time to dream. Young people, now is a wonderful time to be seeking the Lord and all that he has for your life. Amen. It's a great time to commit now your whole entire rest of your life to the Lord. I know many testimonies of people who today are pastors and missionaries and evangelists who will tell you that they were called as a child. A lot of times at a Bible camp and or some kind of youth retreat, God calls young people very often. And so open yourself up and be responsive to those dreams that God wants to place in your heart. These are God-given dreams. And so it's important that you learn how to dream big for God. I want to share something very important with you about how to discover your dreams, how to discover God's dream for your life. How can you know the will of God? Well, let me give you a really simple formula. And it is this. Presentation plus transformation equals revelation. Let's break that down. So we have to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll put it up on the screen there so you don't need to turn there. This is Paul speaking. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present, first of all, your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Presentation plus transformation equals revelation. So first notice the presentation. You give your life to God. You give your body, your will, your life to the service of God as a living sacrifice. That means that you're all in. You say, God, I'm yours. Whatever you would have of me, whatever you would have me to do, I am completely yours. I surrender my life as a sacrifice to you. And then there's a transformation that takes place. God changes you. He changes you from the inside out. That word transformation is actually the Greek word metamorphosis, which is the process that a caterpillar goes through in becoming a butterfly. Changed entirely from the inside out. God wants to transform you into a child of His. He wants to change your nature. And then is revelation. When you yield yourself and you give your life to God, He changes you, and then He reveals His plan and His will to your life. So many people want to know what God's plan is first before deciding to commit. Say, God, I want to know what your plans are before I decide to be all in. But you surrender fully to Him first. You let Him change you, and slowly He will reveal His plans and His purpose and His will to you. And then number three is thrive through your difficulties. Thrive through your difficulties. Very often, once you have discovered your dream, that's when the problems start. And that's when things start getting difficult and things start getting tough. That's exactly what it was for Joseph. He has these dreams. And in verse 8, his brother said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you intended to rule over us?" And so they hated him even more. Their hatred got even worse for him. Joseph had a lot of troubles in life. He did not have an easy life. His brothers hated him. They were going to kill him, but they decided to throw him into a pit instead. Then they sold him as a slave. He was taken to another country. While he was there, he was falsely accused of sexual misconduct. He was thrown into prison, perhaps beaten. He was forgotten in prison when he was supposed to be brought out. I mean, he had some real difficulties and real challenges. But you know what? He continued to thrive through those difficulties because he continued to trust God. He knew that God had a plan through all of this and that God would get him out when the time was right. And even we see Joseph, even in prison, he's ministering to people. He's still ministering and doing what he can for the Lord while he's in prison. Now, when the culture tells you, don't give up, you just keep pressing on, you just dig deep, you keep pressing through, that's good encouragement, but that encouragement is based on self. It encourages you to look inward and to muster up your own strength and muster up your own power. Find your own strength within you. But in reality, the Bible says that we can do nothing of our own because we are fully dependent on the power of God. So only God could bring about the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. Joseph couldn't make that happen. There's no way that he could elevate himself to second in command of all of Egypt. Only God could make that happen. And so God brought Joseph to a position of authority and power, second in command of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And in a very literal sense, he became the savior of the world. They were going to die from a famine had God not brought Joseph to the position that he was in. And I love reading Joseph's words at the end of this book. Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20, when he's speaking to his brothers. This just shows you the perspective of Joseph, his whole life. This is his words to his brothers. He said, "Am I in the place of God?" Understand what that means. He spent his entire life looking up to the Lord, respecting God's will, respecting God's plan. Joseph never usurped his will and his plan over the Lord's. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant all of this for evil against me, but God meant it for good. What a perspective. And when you have that kind of perspective, you're going to thrive through the difficult moments in your life. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Not at all. I'm not saying that you're just going to fly through these difficulties as if they were no problem. I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is that you are going to grow and you are going to mature and you're going to grow closer to the Lord that you've ever been. You're going to become a sanctified saint of His and you're going to exhibit the life of Jesus more and more. God allows us to have difficulties in our life for this purpose, for us to thrive and for us to grow. That clock is wrong. I thought I had more time than I do, but we're gonna jump to the last point, and we'll close with this. Demonstrate dependency. Demonstrate dependency. Now, the culture wants you to look inward and to rely on yourself. And they'll tell you that you can't trust anybody else but yourself. It says, follow your heart, be yourself, you do you. But friend, that is never going to get you anywhere in life. You've got to learn to be completely dependent on God, like Joseph was. I want to show you something that really blessed my devotions this last week. I've been reading through the book of Hebrews, and I read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, and this has really changed my perspective this last week. And it says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." And I want you to notice two little words, "for" and "through." All things were created for Christ. Everything was made for Him. The book of Hebrews talks a lot about how Jesus inherited all things when He went back to heaven. Not that it never belonged to Him. Everything has always belonged to Him. He's the Creator. But for a brief moment in history, Jesus set His inheritance aside and He came to earth so that He could serve us and so that He could die on the cross for our sins. But now that He's risen, He stands to inherit all things. And the writer says that eventually when Jesus returns to earth, everything is going to be given to Him. All of creation was made for Jesus. And so this has really challenged me throughout my days, as every time I'm up against a task or going to speak to somebody, I run this through my mind first. All for Christ. Every word that I say, every thought that I think, every deed that I do, every job that I do, it's all for Christ. And often we think that some of these things are so small and so mundane and it really doesn't matter to the kingdom. That's not true. You can live your life in a way that everything that you do is for Christ. Smiling at a stranger, talking to somebody at the store, it's all for Christ. Begin to live with that mentality, all for Jesus. And then also, all through Christ. You see, Jesus is not only the Creator, but He's also the sustainer of the universe. Everything would cease to exist if He were to remove His hand from this universe, even for a moment. He upholds everything by the power of His word. Therefore, everything that I do, I don't do of my own power and my own will, my own strength, but I do it through the strength and through the power that Christ has given to me. It's not just all for Him, but it's also all through Him. Because sometimes those tasks that we're up against, we think are too overwhelming and too overbearing and too big for me. And that might be. It might be. But it's all through Christ. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All my days and all my hours. All my life, my words, my doings is all for Jesus. All for Jesus. And all through Him. Jesus is my everything. If you begin to think like that and exercise this total dependency upon Christ and view everything that I do is for Him and everything that I do is through Him, let me tell you this, you're going to be well down the path of living a life that is greatly pleasing to the Lord. And He will reveal His will to you, and His word promises that He will reveal the steps before you and that your path will begin to shine brighter and brighter as you follow Him. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? And I just hope that as we went through this message this morning that you were committing and purposing in your heart that you would dare to be different by being devoted to the Father, being devoted to truth, that you would follow your dreams, the dreams that God has given to you, that you would purpose to thrive through difficulties as you depend on God, and lastly, exercise total dependency upon Him. And I hope that today you would remember those two little phrases, all for Jesus, all through Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this wonderful demonstration that we see in the life of Joseph, this young man who did so much for you because of these principles. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us all to take them to heart today, that we would put these into practice, and especially that we would exercise our dependency upon you, that our mentality would always be in everything that we do and say, all for Jesus and all through Jesus, that you may be glorified in all that we do and everything that we accomplish. And as your word says, in bringing many sons to glory, our desire is to bring glory to you. Our desire is to lift up the name of Jesus and to demonstrate your love and power everywhere that we go. And so we just pray and ask these things, that you would give us strength to fulfill your will and fulfill your destiny for our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So we have a video that we would like to share with you all. We have an update on Carol Breslin. So they've got a video presentation for us. So thank you.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Pat Breslin. Carol is my absolute best friend in the world, hands down. If you're visiting today or do not know anything about Carol, first of all, she is definitely a child of God, and she's a warrior. If there's any injustice, I guarantee you she will be on the front lines, especially when it comes to crimes against children. That's why we are down on the southern border today in Sassipee, Arizona. Carol is basically getting ready to start her next chapter in life, along with myself, and focusing on crimes against children. So what's going on with Carol? She quickly suffered a subarachnoid hemorrhage and is in sort of tough shape right now. In addition to the hemorrhage, with the pressure that was put on her brain, she also suffered a couple of strokes. The good news is the last scans that were performed show that there's actual blood flow in these areas, and we're hopeful, very hopeful. So where are we at right now? Right now, they still have a drain in her head, and that will be coming out in the next 5 to 7 days. When that happens, Carol will be basically moved from ICU to a LTAC, or a long-term acute care facility. This is where we need your help right now. There are two facilities in Minnesota. One is in Golden Valley, the other is in St. Paul. The ones that are in Wisconsin are all the way on the other side of the state. There's two of them also, one in Madison and one in Milwaukee. So we're focusing on the ones in Minnesota. The one in St. Paul, Bethesda, only has 24 beds. However, it is a solid, very good facility. The one that is in Golden Valley, Regency, I have to be honest with you, looking at the reviews, it reads more like mini horror stories. So I need your help in prayer. Between our church family here and the Patriots that we have, not only here in church, but around everywhere else, we have got a whole lot of horsepower for praying, more than I think any of us realize. So please, I need your prayers for Carol's immediate needs, which is getting in to Bethesda. That facility alone will truly help aid in her recovery. Next, well, that is basically 14 to 21 days out. So we still have swelling in the brain. They've just cut all of these very caustic deep sedating drugs. So she's got some time to get out from under that. And then she has still some swelling. But in the next 14 to 21 days, we should be able to get a solid neural assessment of exactly where Carol is. Right now, it doesn't look too bright. She has basically her pupils are reactive, but responding to commands such as squeeze my hand or things of that nature, it's not happening. As far as her movements, like if you pinch her, whatever, it's more of a not a reaction as pulling away, it's more posturing. But way too early to tell, especially with the healing that's going on in her brain. So that's where we're at. I thank you so much for the support we've had, all of the prayers you've offered so far. It has been absolutely amazing, and I just don't know what to say. One last thing, not really to do with Carol, but to do with the church. VBS is around the corner, and Carol is always a big part of that. This year, she's on the sidelines, so any help you guys can offer with VBS would be fantastic. Jen, I will be there. I'm not a Carol, but put me wherever you need me, and I'll be there for that. God bless. Bless each and every one of you. Take care, and have a terrific day. Thank you. The reviews it reads.